podcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and Let the Bible Speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we feel privileged and honored to be with you, and I do hope that the things that we say here today will be helpful to you as you continue your journey as a Bible student. Again, if this is a live radio called-in broadcast, if you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and give us a call. Call early. Call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. I want to encourage you to go ahead and call as soon as you have the opportunity, because towards the end of the broadcast, we seem to get a lot of questions, and it becomes very difficult to get those questions in. So go ahead and call right now. If you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, call 308-9564, 308-9564.
Most of you are aware that we had a good rain today and last night, and a lot of flooding was involved in that. And usually something comes to mind when that occurs. Very often someone will think back, well, wow, how much is it going to rain? And people immediately start thinking of a flood in the Bible where Noah was commanded to build an ark because God was going to destroy the world in a flood back then, and all that breathed that wasn't on the ark perished in that great flood back in Genesis chapter 6. And we forget sometimes the reason for that, and that was a judgment that God gave to the world during that time. And so what we thought we might talk about today is a little bit about judgment and what it is that we can expect as far as God's judgment upon us today again. And so we need to look to the Bible for those answers. And so get your Bibles out as we let the Bible speak. You might have a question that that you would like to ask in the midst of us discussing that, and we'd be happy for you to go ahead and call in. The line, there's an operator right now standing by, and we'll be glad to send that question. He can write it down and have it brought into us, or you can go live on the air. The choice is yours. The number here to go ahead and call in your question is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will be glad to take your question, and we'll look to the Bible for the answer. As we mentioned earlier, the Bible is filled with a number of judgments where God looked upon man or a group of men and gave judgment against them. The first one that we're aware of is in Genesis chapter 6, where he looked out on the world and he saw that every thought of the imagination of man's heart was on evil continually, except for one man. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that was Noah. And Noah and he was instructed to build this ark, and so he and his boys took around 100 years to build this ark, in which they all went in along with animals that God sent, and they put into the ark, and they preserved. And if that had not occurred, then you and I would not be here today. And so they were life was preserved in the ark during the time of that flood. That was a judgment. God judged man, and because of their wickedness, he condemned them. Well, there are a number of other examples like that in the Bible. There would be in 70 AD where God brought a judgment against the children of Israel in Jerusalem, and how that he brought the Roman Empire, Titus, general, against them, and they destroyed Jerusalem there in 70 A.D. Jesus prophesied that this was happening, would happen, and he gave warning to the children of his children, Christians, and gave them instructions as to what to do. In Matthew chapter 24, he gave them a lot of instructions on how to flee into the hills and do not even go back to take luggage or belongings, but to flee unless they be also destroyed. And so that happened in Matthew chapter 24. There are a lot of other judgments that were in the Old Testament as well. The Ninevites were told that they were going to be destroyed. And Jonah was sent to warn them, and luckily they repented and came back to their senses, and they were preserved for another generation. There are a number of other examples throughout the Bible. And in as far as these judgments and things that were taking place back then, God speaks of that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he talks about how that there are a number that have been judged over a period of time. And his point that he makes in this passage was, if God judged them and punished them, then he knows how to punish ungodly men. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it brings out, he knows how to keep in store. Let me just read the verse. It says, let me go back to verse 6. It says, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water, but the heavens and earth, which now exist, are kept in store by the same word, reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so now he is speaking of another day of judgment that is coming. In verse 8, he says, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so whenever we're thinking about judgment, whenever we're thinking about facing God as the judge, we should know and be very well convinced that we will stand before him in judgment one day. It will happen. It will take place. And then verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And so both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. So this day will come. We will be judged one day. I think we have a live caller now that is standing by to ask their question live on the air. And so, let's see, it looks like their name is, if I'm reading the writing right, it's Brian, is that correct?
Close, it's Byron.
Byron, okay, all right. Byron, how can we help you?
Well, my question today is about the unified body of Christ. I don't hear much being spoken about it, preached about it. 1 Corinthians 6:17 declares that I'm united to the Lord and one spirit with him. How do you feel like the members, the religious community, pastors, leaders, how do we deal with the fact that many of our denominations and churches are divided, and yet Christ calls us to be one united body of Christ? And how do you feel like that impacts the world that we're trying to reach?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. And, of course, what we try to do with this program is let God answer all the questions. And he has addressed that. If you turn to John chapter 17, we'll find his answer. In John 17, he is praying, and he prays for himself the first few verses about what he's about to face with the crucifixion. Then he prays for the 12. And then, beginning with verse 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, there he's praying that we would all be one and completely united, just like you said. And the way that we are supposed to be united there is the same way that he and the Father were united, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us. And so the same kind of unity that Jesus and the Father had at that point, that is the same kind of unity and united effort that we should be having today. Well, how is that possible? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, we see that there was a squabble, if you will, some kind of division that actually started back in the first century. And he says in verse 10, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And he goes on to describe how that there were some aligning themselves after other individuals, after other personalities. And he says, do not do that. He says, Christ is the only one that we should be focused on, and we should be following ourselves after him. And yet today, do we not have people that will align themselves after individuals or doctrines or some kind of system of beliefs, and not after the pure and only Word of God? And so that's the only way that we can be united and achieve what Jesus was praying for there. If we all speak the same thing, thus, we must let the Bible speak. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, and that's the only way that we can return is to go back to the Bible for all the authority of everything that we say and do.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Byron. And
prayer is, then, teacher, for us to get there.
Well, that's what we have to do, is go to the book for every question that has to do with life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter said, as his divine power has given, past tense, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue. And so we must go to the book to find all the answers if we're going to have a hope of having that unity. And as long as there is, as long as God allows us to have this free will, man is going to come up with everything that they can imagine and teach that in the name of religion. But God does not want us to be teaching these other things. One other passage, Galatians chapter 1, shows us the danger that we tread upon when we come up with something different. And Paul himself, of course, is the one that the Holy Spirit used to pen this. And he says, though we, including himself, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, let him be accursed. So Paul didn't have the right to come up with anything different. An angel from heaven didn't have the right to come up with anything different. What about you and I? Do we have the right to come up with something different?
No.
No, not without that penalty, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling, Byron. We sure do appreciate you calling and listening each week. Again, the number here, if you'd like to call in your question right now, is 308-9564. We're going to take our first break. And we want to let you know that we're going to give you this free information, and this is a correspondence course that we offer free of charge. And Byron, and you make certain you enroll in this if you have not already, and anyone else that would like to receive this correspondence course, be sure to call this operator standing by right now at 553-5157. Here's the information. We'll be right
back. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Please take a moment to write this number down. 308-9564. You can call 843-308-9564 during the program to ask your questions live on the air, or have someone read it on the air for you, and we'll answer it. Call now before the lines fill up. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
Again, Let the Bible Speak, again, a live call-in radio broadcast. If you have any questions, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. I want to go ahead and make mention of this free Bible correspondence course that's available to you. If you are looking for some material that will aid you in your Bible studies, this program is designed for you to be able to study in your home. We will send this material to you free of charge. You can call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. Go ahead and do that. It will be very helpful to you. If there are other questions that you have or other material that you're interested in, if you're interested in salvation, again, we have some material along that line, and you can get that information from the operator standing by at 553-5157. If to join us now in our live broadcast, you will just call
308-9564, and you can call in your question right now, 308-9564. You can call in. You can have your question written down and brought into us like the one we're about to answer, or you can go live on the air like Byron just was. And so it's your choice. 308-9564 to come to the station here, and we will let the Bible speak. You have a question there, Nick?
Yes, this caller is Ben. I believe this is Ben that's been calling week after week. We do appreciate your listening. Ben says Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 talks about the judgment. Can you explain this? Sure. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 does talk about judging. Doesn't talk about the judgment, and I'm assuming that's what he meant, judging. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, oftentimes the thought is that the Bible is teaching us that we cannot judge. And oftentimes this passage is cited for that reason. But if you look closely, you'll see that that's not the intent of the Holy Spirit. The intent here is to show us that we can, in fact, judge, but there's a certain way to judge. In fact, what's being condemned here is hypocritical judgment. And so what we need to do is just keep reading. In verse 3 it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look at a plank, look, a plank is in your own eye?" Verse 5, he calls him a hypocrite. And the idea is, I can't see clearly to help someone else until I remove the plank that's in my eye. First, he says in verse 5, "Remove the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." In no way here does he say you don't remove the speck from your brother's eye, but he says, first, fix your own situation. And so the Bible's not saying we can't judge, but in fact, the Bible's telling us hypocritical judgment is not accepted by God. Note also a couple of other verses in this very same text that lets us know that we are to make judgment calls. In verse 6, it says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine." A swine is a hog. And so here in this text, it tells me I have to judge between who's a hog and who's a dog. And so I have to make a judgment call. I can't cast my pearls before swines, the Bible says. And then note also in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Well, how do I determine who's a false prophet? How can I make that determination? You see, I have to judge them. I have to look to make sure that they're not a false prophet. I have to test them. Verse 16 says, "You will know them by their fruits." And so we are to be fruit inspectors. And so absolutely the Bible is teaching us that we can judge. It's just hypocritical judgment. That's what God condemns. If you'd like to join us right now, you can. The number to call is 308-9564. 308-9564. I believe we have a live caller. Caller,
yes.
Are you there?
Yes, I think we have Fletch, are you there? Fletch, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, how can we help you?
Yes, I'm driving along, so I'm afraid I haven't got my Bible with me. But there's a passage in which Jesus says that he'll return in his glory before some of those listening have tasted death. And I've always wondered what he meant by that, because it sounds like he's saying that some of you are still going to be alive when I come back in my glory.
Okay, well, that's a very good question. You're actually referring to Mark 9 and verse 1, where it says, "Assuredly, I say unto you, that some of you will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." And so that's talking about the kingdom of God coming, not the idea of him coming and to destroy the world and to the final judgment. The kingdom did, in fact, come before some of them tasted death. Matter of fact, as Jesus died on the cross, arose from the dead, and then ascended into heaven, he came and was set on his throne as king. His kingdom was set up in the first century. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, and also Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, we see that John was in the kingdom and also Paul was in the kingdom. And so both of those were in the kingdom. The kingdom, in fact, came in Acts chapter 2 as the church was set up. And so the kingdom and the church are used synonymously in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16, 17, 18 there. It talks about Jesus telling them he was going to set up his church. And then in the next verse, he refers to it being his kingdom. The kingdom and the church are the same thing. Jesus is king. He is the head of the church. And so, yes, they in fact are the same thing, and that's what it's talking about, Fletch, that there were going to be some there that would not taste death, not see death, until they see him come in his glory. And his kingdom did in fact come in Acts chapter 2. The first ones added to the church there, some 3,000 the very first day, and then many others in following days, including to this day. He still is reigning as king on his throne in heaven. Very good question, Fletch. Thank you so much for your question, and we sure do appreciate you tuning in and listening this afternoon. Again, the number here is 308-9564. We're going to go ahead and take another break to give you that information about the correspondence course. And but while we are at break, you can go ahead and call in your question and be next in line. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
All right, we're back live again. We really do want you to take advantage of that. That is a correspondence course. It's an overview of the Bible to where that you get a bird's eye view as you literally scan through the Bible and see what God had intended for us and why we should be people of the book to learn what God would want us to be and to do and the whole purpose behind it. Just a quick study. It's actually through three mailings back and forth, and you will have finished the whole course. Again, that operator standing by at 553-5157. And again, that is absolutely free. We'll be glad to send that to you. Right now, we're talking in reference to the second coming, or if you will, the judgment to come that the Lord has promised to us. And we need to be ready for that. And the only way that we can be ready is to look in God's Word and see what we should be doing and the certainty of it. And also not allow some of the smoke screens that the religious world is throwing out there to confuse us about that day that is still ahead of us. Nick, you've got some on that?
Yeah, it's interesting, Ricky, that as we note in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that God is very specific that the day, that it will be a day. The Bible says, point unto man wants to die, then the judgment. The judgment will come, and it will come to all. But you know, prior to us answering some of the questions, you got into 2 Peter. And so I'd like to go back there, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, and take a look at that, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And here what you'll note is that the Bible does talk about the day of the Lord coming. And before I read that text, just want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and call right now. The lines are open. If there's some question on your heart and you're seeking a Bible answer, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. In 2 Peter chapter 3, picking up in verse 10, the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come." Notice that the Bible calls it, you know, the day of the Lord. And so there will be a day of the Lord. It's going to come, and verse 10 says, "As a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? The idea is, because I know that destruction will befall this world, because I know that I'm going to be before God, Romans chapter 14, verse 10 talks about us all appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14, 10, because I know that I'm going to have to stand or kneel, if you will, before the judgment seat of Christ, I need to be preparing myself for that day. We reference Romans, Genesis chapter 6 with Noah, and the day of the Lord did come in Noah's time for that people who had engaged in a tremendous amount of wickedness, and God would destroy them all. Now, could they have been saved? Sure, if they would have listened to Noah, a preacher of righteousness. But they would not listen, and thus God's destruction or God's wrath came upon them. The same thing is true for you and I today. If we are not listening to the word of God, if we're not obeying it and doing the things that he says, be ye doers of the words, not hearers only, if we're not doing what he says, then surely the day of the Lord will catch us unprepared. The day of the Lord will come. We absolutely need to be prepared when it arrives. Again, this is a live radio broadcast. If you have a comment, if you have a question, please go ahead and give us a call, 308-9564, 308-9564.
When we are thinking about the coming, there's a lot of things out there that are falsely told. And the reason this is such a frequently talked about subject in churches today is because it's spectacular. And that is not something that we're trying to do at all. We're just trying to let people know excuse me, that the Bible is clear on what is going to occur. And when the Lord does come, it brings out that the heavens will be dissolved, and also the earth will be dissolved. And so that day will be the end of this physical life as we know it. And so we must always try to be prepared. We do not know when he's coming. It could be right now or even before the end of this broadcast. Okay, I believe we have a live caller. Virgil, are you there? Virgil, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how can we help you?
Okay, I was wondering, with all the different churches that are out, and scripture saying that Christ said he will build his church singular, is any church good, or is there something that one church that we should be focusing on?
Okay, well, that is a real good question. There's as I mentioned earlier, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12, it were some that were, he said, I beg you that you all speak the same thing. Now, the church at Corinth was not a poster boy church either. They had a lot of problems. As you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll see that. However, they were a church that belongs to the Lord. Some things that you ought to look for as far as trying to figure out in this smorgasbord world of churches out there and religions is when you get to know someone or meet someone, the first thing you know is their name. And so look in the Bible and see what kind of names that are referred to in the Bible. And one thing that you see is that there's not any denominations in the Bible. So that's the first thing you will come to face as you look and compare with what God's Word says. Then you also need to know, are these people the people of God? Or have they just conformed to some system of belief that man has come up with? And so what we have to do again is to look in the Bible and see what did people back then do to become children of God. And so the best place to find that answer is to go to the very first place where people became children of God and were added to that church. And that you'll find that in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the first sermon was preached. Peter was the one that God used to preach that sermon. And he told them that they needed to know that Jesus is Lord in Christ in verse 36. Now, most churches do have, or in Christendom, teach that to some extent that Jesus is Lord or to have some kind of reverence toward him. But there it says Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah. Well, they were struck about this. It says they asked the question, what must we do? And the instructions were, and this is where things go different today, here's what they were instructed to do. They were told in verse 38 to repent and let every one of them be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times people will say repentance is necessary, but seldom do you run into a group today that say you have to be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, the reason for that is because if the devil can confuse people about that, then where will those sins reside? They'll still be on their own shoulders, won't they?
Yes, they will.
And so we have to do everything that the Bible says. And so he tells them there to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then he goes on teaching them, just like the Lord had instructed them in the Great Commission to do. And in verse 41, it says, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So when you look and see what they did back then, well, then that's the kind of group that you should look for today, the kind that's doing exactly what they did back then. It says that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Well, we can see there that that was their baptism, their belief, their repentance, all was a package deal. Matter of fact, if you look and look very closely, if you're reading a King James Bible, that is, you'll see those words to them. If you're looking there, you'll notice they're italicized. And what that means is there's no word there. And so there's no original Greek word to correspond to those two words. And so that's the translator's way of letting you know there's no word. So when you read this, it reads it this way if you leave those out. And that day about 3,000 souls were added. What were they added to? Well, you go to verse 47 and you find the answer. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the Lord was the one adding them to the church. And from verse 41, what was it that the people had to do to cause the Lord to add them to his church?
They had to be baptized.
There it is.
They had to be baptized.
They had to receive the word and be baptized. That's exactly right. And so that's the second thing that you should look for. Is this church teaching that plan of salvation, or are they just teaching part of it? For example, a lot of churches will just look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, which says that just mentions belief and confession. And when you look and see some examples in the Bible, for example, even the demons believed and confessed their faith in Jesus Christ, but that didn't save them. So does that mean that verse 9, which says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved? Does that mean that verse is wrong?
No,
it doesn't mean that's wrong.
That's part of it.
That's part of it. Those are necessary. And if you go on to the next verse, it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so the word unto there is interestingly used in the translators to suggest that this is a journey. We're still headed to salvation. We're still headed to this righteousness. Well, how do we get into that righteousness? Well, you've already mentioned it, and it was in Acts chapter 2. But back, if you go back in Romans to chapter 6, we'll see that, do you not know that, this is Romans 6 and verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, this verse, this chapter, ends with a very famous verse that most people are aware of. The wage of sin is what?
Death.
Yeah, okay. We know that verse. So if we deserve and have earned a death penalty by our sin, how can that death penalty be satisfied? Well, verse 3, that we're baptized into his death. So, yeah, that's part of it. We must be baptized into Christ in order to be one of his children. Now, if you're not part of a church, or if you can't find a church that teaches that, then you need to keep on looking. That's for sure. Does that help?
That's real good. I really appreciate that answer.
Well, thank you very much for listening today, and we'll be more than happy to help you in any way in your further Bible study. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can call the operator standing by at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to even give you more information on that.
Was that number again?
That number is 553-5157, and we'll take that. You'll take your information down, and we'll be glad to even send you more information.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you for calling. 553-5157, that's the number, and we sure do appreciate those calls. Again, the number here now, if you'd like to call in your question right now, they're kind of piling up, but go ahead and call in anyway, 308-9564. And we will be glad to let the Bible speak to the question on your mind, 308-9564.
We have another question. This caller, Rhonda, calls in. This question, she says, are all the promises in the Old Testament for us today? Can we expect similar blessings? Well, Rhonda, this is a good question for us, and I'm going to answer this probably in two parts. Part one, God did make promises in the Old Testament to those people, and oftentimes he would make it specifically to the people. And then there would be a specific promise that he would make, which in fact would be for you and I today. And so let me give that example. In Genesis chapter 12, in Genesis the 12th chapter, you have God talking to Abram, and God does make two types of promises here. A promise for him and his descendants, that is to say, his immediate descendants, and then God would make a promise to Abraham's future descendants, which could be anybody if they would commit to some very specific things, and I'll get into that in just a moment. In Genesis chapter 12, picking up in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." So here God is making a promise to Abram. He's going to send him to a land that he would show him. In verse 2, God says, "I will make you a great nation and will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Now, again, a couple more promises, some to Abraham, but God also speaks of making a great nation out of Abraham. In verse 3, God says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And so God was going to bless all the families of the earth. Well, that phrase tells us that he's not just talking about Abraham's immediate family, but this was going to span beyond that. And so here we have a promise that some promises that were given specifically to Abraham, and then we see this future promise that would come to being in Christ. And for those of you who would want a little more information on that, you can find that in Galatians chapter 3. Just read all of Galatians chapter 3, and you'll find that when God made the promise to Abraham that all nations are going to be blessed through him, he was actually talking about Jesus Christ. And so some of those promises apply to us. Some of those promises were specific to other people. In Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, Jeremiah chapter 31, and picking up in verse 31, the Bible speaks of a new covenant that God was going to bring about. Again, that was a promise, and that was going to be a promise that was not going to just affect some, but would affect all, would affect us today. In Jeremiah chapter 31, picking up in verse 31, the Bible says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make." See, again, a future promise. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In verse 34, what you'll see is that God says he's going to forgive sins and remember them no more. Well, that wouldn't come to being until Jesus Christ came on the scene. And thus, we can all be impacted by that promise. Again, some promises were for specific people, but there were promises in the Old Testament that would impact everyone. Also, one last passage just for you to look at, Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 and verse 6. And what you'll note there is that the scripture is talking about Christ and when Christ was going to come and how that he was going to be a light not just to the Jews, but he was also going to be a light to the Gentiles. Gentiles, anyone who's not a Jew, most likely many of you out there would fall into that category. And so Jesus, when Jesus was going to come on the scene, this promise of a Messiah, this promise was going to be for everyone. I hope that's helpful to you. I believe we have another question, but before we read that question, we want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Okay, we have Thomas calling in this question, and he wants to know what Pentecost is all about. And Thomas, that is a very good question, but we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back to your question in just a second. And those of you who have ever wondered, what is this day of Pentecost talked about in Acts chapter 2? Well, we're going to look and see what the Bible has to say on that in just a moment. Thomas, hold on, and we will be right back to your question. And in the meantime, if you want to go ahead and call in your question here at the station, you can do so while we're at break, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, Again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we have a live caller standing by, and Charles, we do want you to hold on just a second. We will get to you in just a second. Thomas, the answer to your question concerning what the day of Pentecost is, you can find in Exodus chapter 34, verses 22 on, where it says, "You shall observe the Feast of Weeks." That's the same thing, the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Pentecost, same thing. The word penta means 50, and so it's 50 days after the Passover when it was set up and thus called Pentecost. But it was the Feast of Weeks, the first fruits of your wheat harvest, and the Feast of the Ingathering at the year's end is when that was to be done. Then he goes on to say, three times a year, all your men are to appear before me, the Lord God of Israel. And so Jewish men had to go to Jerusalem three times a year, and that was one of the feasts that they had to go to Jerusalem in order to offer these sacrifices. And so they were to focus on the Lord and spend a week in serving the Lord, the week of Feast of Weeks, that is, or the Passover. And so that was one of the three main feasts that the Jews had to do under the law of Moses. Now we live under the law of Christ. I believe we have a live caller now standing by. Charles, I think you're there. And we are glad that you've taken out time this afternoon to be able to join us. And so you're live on the air now. Charles, how can we help you?
How are you, sir?
I am fine. How are you?
Well, I'm blessed and I'm thankful.
Well, good. I believe you have a question about what we talked about earlier in reference to baptism.
Yes, I do. I would like to know if, in fact, one has to be baptized in water to be saved.
Okay. Well, I would direct you and everyone to an example in the Bible itself where there was a man from Ethiopia driving a chariot, and Philip was instructed to go and teach him. And in Acts chapter 8, verses 36, 37, and on, we see him joining the chariot and preaching to him the gospel message. And it says, after preaching to him Jesus, that the man interrupts him and says, "Well, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And so he said, "Well, if you believe with all your mind, all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And so in this example of Bible baptism, was that a baptism in water?
Yes, it was.
It sure was. And so that was something that was done there in Acts chapter 2 with those 3,000 there on the day of Pentecost. And matter of fact, if you go on through in Acts chapter 10, it says, "Can any man forbid water?" This is Acts 10 and verse 47. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And then in Acts chapter, all the way through, yes, the baptism, the way to know whether it's Holy Spirit baptism or that an operation of God versus an operation of man, if man is commanded to do it or instructed to do it, then that's water baptism. And so if it is something that man is actually doing, because only God can baptize in the Holy Spirit, only Christ. So if man is being instructed, then it's always water baptism.
Okay, that's good news. I've been wanting to participate in a prison ministry And I know that there are there's circumstances where these gentlemen will not be able to be water baptized, but would that negate their salvation?
Well, where there's a will, there's a way. I have also been in prison ministries, and it takes a little doing with through the chaplain and through the legal affairs, but that is very possible there as well. And so when someone is wanting to obey God, Jesus says, Matthew 7:7, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given. And so even if they're in the middle of the desert, I've seen opportunities where someone was provided an opportunity to be immersed in water for the remission of their sins. The last example I remember was when they dug a hole in the sand and put all their raincoats in the hole, and then dumped all their bottled water in the hole, and that's what they were baptizing in.
Amen.
And so,
That is good news.
I have another passage that might be helpful as well, and that's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, which talks about the days of Noah. And here is making a contrast about what saved the people in the days of Noah. If you ask most people what saved the people in the days of Noah, typically people will say the ark. But that's not necessarily what the Bible says. And it makes that contrast to further give evidence that water, baptism in water, is what is required today. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, talking about those who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us. It says baptism. It's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says baptism is not a bath. It's not just getting wet, but it is a pledge of good conscience. Here it makes this contrast. 8 souls were saved by water in the days of Noah. Thus baptism now saves us, but that's water immersion baptism.
So that's a very good question, Thomas, and we sure are appreciate you calling in and asking that question.
Thank you very much. You have a blessed day.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. I might also add, there's a story in the Old Testament about Naaman, who was a Syrian general, and he got leprosy, and he was told to go, and he was instructed by the prophet of God to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan in order to be cured of his leprosy. What if he had gone swimming in the River Jordan before he was instructed to do that? Would he have been cleansed of his leprosy? And as most of y'all would be thinking right now, yes, he would not be cleansed because he wouldn't have been doing that in obedience to God. And so in order for baptism to be properly, for God to do what he promises, and that is to wash away our sins, Acts 22 and verse 16, in order for God to do that, then we need to do it in obedience to him, in order for him to be willing to do that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so unless we're doing obedience to his word, then that is not an obedient faith. And so then, when we do it because his word says it, then we are, our sins are washed away. He adds us to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And so I hope that is helpful to you. Again, this is Let the Bible Speak. This is a live broadcast, and you can go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. Even while we are at break, we'll be glad to take your information, and you can get your question to us, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157, and the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we're back live again. We have Deborah calling in this question this afternoon. Deborah, thank you so much for calling. She lives in Charleston, and she asked a question about a particular passage, Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, where it ends by saying, Jesus says to them, "Follow me and let the dead bury the dead." And she asked, what does this mean? Please explain. Well, the context starts back in verses 14, 15, 16, where he's talking about those that are being called to follow him. And he says, in response to that, in verse 18, "Now Jesus saw the great multitude unto him, and he commanded them to, and he gave a command to depart to the other side. And then certain disciples came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said, 'Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And then another of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go bury my father.' And then Jesus said, said to him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury the dead.'" And his whole point is there are certain things that are very much the highest priority, and that is making our relationship with God is the most important thing that we can do. And as far as some of the incidental things of life, well, there are plenty of people that are not seeking after God to do those things. And the highest calling, the highest thing that one can do on the face of the earth is to make certain that their relationship with God is what it should be. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. We must put God first. And so a lot of the incidental things that have to do with life, well, those that are not serving the Lord can, if they can take care of those things, then they should take care of those things. Deborah, I hope that helps a lot. But it shows there how important it is for us to put God first. I would also direct you to read from Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through the end of the chapter, which Jesus gives a comparison between even loving relatives and the motives and intents of our heart. That's Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through the end of the chapter. And so that'll be an important passage for you as well. Again, the number here is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and you can call in your question, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak. I believe we have a live caller right now. Oh, okay. Well, looks like we lost that caller. If you want to call back, we'll be glad to try to get through to you. I think her question had a lot to do or had something to do with the role of women as far as public service to God. And I would direct you to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 12, 13, and 14. And that deals with how that the women who are women is supposed to be teaching and not to be teaching, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. You got something on
that?
Yeah,
I just want to add also Titus chapter 2 talks about, again, the responsibility of women. Verse 3 talks about the old women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And it talks about how that the young women should be teaching, that the older women should be teaching the younger women as well, and teaching them how they get them to love their husband and their children. Okay, and again, we appreciate all the calls today. Hopefully the things that we've said have been helpful to you. We've been talking about this idea of judgment today, and that God has prepared a day in which he's going to judge the world, and we have to prepare ourselves. We really have to prepare ourselves for that. In Acts chapter 17 is interesting, as Paul finds himself talking to a group here who were not Jews, but rather Gentiles, and as he speaks to them about that day. In Acts chapter 17, picking up in verse 30, he says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So God has assured that he's going to there's going to be a day when he's going to judge the world. And because he's going to judge the world, we must all be prepared for that. We must be ready to repent of the things that we have done wrong. We must seek him diligently. I'm reminded of one of the callers earlier who was asking, you know, well, what church should I be a part of? And again, he was sincere and honest. And thus, this will be the kind of person that will seek out from the scripture what God has said concerning the church. We all need to be that same way. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Yeah, and we're approaching quickly the end of the broadcast, and so we want you to go ahead and call in your question while we have time. 308-9564. We're serious about our letting the Bible speak. One day, we will all be standing before the God of heaven, and he will be our judge. We're not going to be holding your hand that day. No one will be holding your hand. We'll be standing before God alone, and it will be by his word that we'll be judged. Not by the word of anybody, any group, or anybody on the radio, as far as that concerned. We must just let the Bible be the what is directing us in this life so that we can show ourselves approved unto God. And so we must go there for the answer. And those questions earlier that Nick just referred to, we sure do appreciate that, because that shows the attitude of the heart. If we're truly trying to show ourselves approved to God, then what we'll have to do is be asking questions, just like that Ethiopian on that chariot that day, and that he was seeking after God and how I can be pleasing to God. And so the message that was taught to him, he was told about Jesus and what Jesus did and how that he died so that we might live. He became poor so we could be rich, not rich in physical wealth, but rich with our blessings in heaven. He suffered so we will not have to. He bled so we do not have to have the pain and suffering that is associated with the condemnation about our sin. He died so we can live. And so we've got to die with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, as we mentioned earlier, that know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. I would like to go ahead and add a little bit more to that from our earlier call, and that is that first phrase there, we're baptized into Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're at the church where you're at is not teaching the complete plan of salvation and immediately acting upon that to where that you will be added to the body of Christ, then there is something wrong there. You should be very much careful about that, and let your ears be clearly understanding what's going on. Because in the New Testament, there on the day of Pentecost, without a church building, there were over 3,000 obey the gospel that day being baptized into Christ. Many thousands more after that. And thus, Romans 6 says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so that's the only way that we can have that newness of life is if we will die with Christ in the watery grave of baptism. And so we would encourage you to also do that same thing. If you have an interest in that or want more information on that, please call the operator standing by right now at 553-5157. We'll take this information and we'll be glad to send you information on what we must do in order to be prepared to meet God on that day of judgment one day. 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. We're just about out of time today. We want you to know that we're very thankful that you have taken out your afternoon to let the Bible speak in your heart. We pray that we have stayed out of God's way, literally. We do this every time, and we pray that we stay out of God's way so that the Bible is the only thing that you're hearing. God's Word is the only thing that matters, so that when all is said and done, that we are showing ourselves approved unto God by rightly dividing or accurately handling the Word of God. And that's the only way that we can be pleasing unto Him. We want you to know that we're thankful for your participation today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for opening up the Bible with us. Tune in again next week as we look into God's Word and we let the Bible speak. Good day.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm weeping, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reaching on.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you. So each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.
You are our inspiration at 106.3.